Something. Let's get my microphone. Let's get it all together. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the highlight of human civilization. It's called Coffee with Scott Adams, Saturday edition. It's really the same as all the other editions. But if you'd like to take this experience up to levels that nobody could possibly understand, all you need for that is a cup or a mug or a glass, a tankard, chalice, a stein, a canteen, jug or flask, a vessel of any kind, fill it with your favorite liquid. I like coffee. And join me now for the unparalleled pleasure of the dopamine of the day thing makes everything better. It's called the simultaneous sip, and it happens now. Go. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes the sip is just perfect. It's a perfect sip. Shall we check in with the news? I fixed my typo on my comic this morning, you'll be happy to know. So if you saw it with a typo, it's already fixed, for those of you subscribing. Well, on the Howard Stern show, Joe Biden went on there, and I was reading a post by Greg Price. He was summarizing some of the things that Biden said on that show. Now, I remind you that Biden ran for president in part on the Charlottesville hoax, but also in part because you couldn't have a lying president. No, you can't have a lying president, you know, like that mean old Mr. Trump. You need a president that tells the truth every single time he opens his mouth. For example, some of the things that Biden told us truthfully is that he saved 6 people from drowning as a lifeguard. Okay, that's a lie. But he did say he received what he called salacious pictures from women in the 70s that he handed over to his Secret Service, which he didn't have because he was a senator then and they don't have Secret Service. So that's a lie. But okay. But this next one is true. He was arrested as a kid while standing with a black family on their porch as people were protesting desegregation. Okay, that's definitely a lie. You don't really get arrested for standing on a porch. Standing on a porch with black people, you get arrested. But this next one I'm sure is true. That he was a runner-up in state scoring in football. Okay, that's definitely a lie. All right, so everything he said was a lie, including the main thing he ran on, the Charlottesville hoax. But he's also posting that Trump said that you should drink bleach. So basically 100% of everything Biden's ever said is a lie. And Democrats are so happy they want to reelect him. So that's how that works. Well, General Mike Flynn has a documentary that I believe is available now. So it's available this weekend. I think it's named Flynn. Is it on YouTube? But if you just look for the Flynn documentary, it'll pop up somewhere. And here's what he says. He says, after 7 years of silence, I'm ready to release my story to the public, and you won't want to miss it. The most shocking documentary of 2024, he says. It's time to take our country back. Now, let me tell you the thing that always was a mystery to me with the General Flynn story. So you know the story that he got accused of some Russian collusion stuff that was completely made up. And he ended up pleading guilty to something because they threatened to put his son in jail. That really happened. Now, then his attorney gets disbarred or something, right? Sidney Powell. So basically, just the worst things happened to this guy. And I'll tell you the thing that always puzzled me the most. So here's a general. Presumably any general in the U.S. Army has learned a lot about military tactics. Is that fair to say? Or are there some generals that don't learn that? They all learn military tactics, right? Kind of basic for if you're a general. And I'm watching General Flynn go on total defense for 7 years. And I said to myself, how in the world are you a general in the military and you go on defense for 7 years. Like, what's up with that? He's probably the least combative person who is being the most abused in the most obvious way for the longest time and said the least about it. I mean, he did speak out about it, but I felt like it was the weakest pushback you could ever see. I now have a new theory about this. I think it is tactics. I think that when he was in his initial bad situation, he realized that the entire intelligence community and the Democrats and the press were against him, and he couldn't win. If you're good at tactics, you don't fight the battle you can't win. You pull back, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you wait, and then you fucking kill everybody who did that to you. But you wait until the time is right. I've got a feeling the time is right. And you might be seeing a U.S. trained general going on the offense after waiting for 7 years for the right time. Oh, this is the right time. Oh, this is the right time. Because everything that you couldn't say 7 years ago, you can say now. At least on some places, right? So our entire architecture of what is believable, what's true, who did what to whom, it's all different now. And he can come right out and say the bad things that happened for the first time. And it will be believable, and it will be additive to Trump's campaign because the timing will be perfect. And I don't know. He might be a brilliant tactician, and you're just watching it play out in real time. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know him well enough. I don't know the situation well enough. But this is the only way I can explain somebody who's got military training playing, such a soft first part of the game. I think he's going to go hard now. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. Anyway, so it's called Flynn. Make sure you see it. Dustin Moskowitz, I believe he was one of the Facebook founders. Was it Facebook? Dustin Moskowitz. He's one of those, original founder types. And he went after Elon Musk, saying that Elon Musk and Tesla were lying about some things, and that when it all came out, that Musk would go to jail. And he's saying that Tesla's like the Enron of companies. Elon Musk saw that and responded on a post, and I quote, "What a retard." Okay, that was the entire post. Now, remember I said that everything's different 7 years later with the Flynn story? Here's something else that's different. Elon Musk can say, "What a retard," on social media, and there won't really be any pushback. And if there is, nobody gives a crap. So, but of course, it was just an offhand comment. It's not like he's going to double down or anything. Oh, he did double down. Okay. So Elon followed up with a clarification because, it's sort of a improper, impolite thing to say in public. So he softened it later, and I guess that's a good thing. He said, "What I meant to say is that he is a pompous idiot whose head is so far up his own ass that he's legally blind. I wish him the best, and I hope that someday we can be friends." So now, who does that sound like? Let me read it again, and you tell me who is influencing Elon Musk's tweeting style. "What I meant to say is he's a pompous idiot whose head is so far up his own ass that he's legally blind. I wish him the best, and I hope that someday we can be friends." That's pure Trump. In fact, it's almost Trump like one day before that, when Trump was making fun of Bill Barr. And he said that he'd called Bill Barr five different bad names, but because Bill Barr backed him for president, he was going to remove lethargic. but only lethargic from his list of insults. And then Musk is, I hope that someday we could be friends. classic. Yes, classic. Anyway, one of the things that Musk said on a conference call is that, and I've said this before, that the robot portion of Tesla could be the biggest part. And I think he's totally right. At the end of the year, he thinks he'll have robots doing some factory work, and maybe in 2025, you might get your own robot. So I should tell you, I have Tesla stock. So just full disclosure. And I have it primarily because of the robot play. So I'm not, you know, I'm not convinced that Tesla, the electric car company, is the end all be all of businesses, especially with prices coming down and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's very unpredictable business. But the robot business does honestly look like the biggest thing I've ever seen. And if you had to bet on somebody being able to manufacture robots in America, I would bet on Musk. And you know, do you know what the biggest change is that's coming? China's in trouble, because the only reason that we have anything manufactured in China, besides lower environmental standards, I suppose, is that their labor is cheap. But if you start making everything with robots, maybe not the kind that walk around, but, you know, robot arms and robot factory lines and stuff, you can make everything just the same price in America. And then you can get rid of the shipping and delay that you would have with China. So in theory, the robot revolution should put China out of business as a manufacturing entity. It should all become local, because it just makes sense to do it locally. You don't have to ship it as far. So yeah, robots. Robots are everything. So Biden has created an AI advisory board. So he's invited the leaders of all the big AI companies, except one. There's one leader of a major AI company that was left off the advisory board, Elon Musk. Yep. Yeah, if you're the government in the United States and you want to make one of these really big decisions that affects civilization, you leave Elon Musk out of the advisory board. Don't you think he'd get a better result if he left everybody else out and just had one person on the advisory board? It was just Musk. I feel like that would have been a better play than to be the only one left out. What exactly are they watching or seeing or hearing that makes them think that Elon Musk is the one they don't want to listen to about AI? Maybe he's the only one you should listen to. Maybe. It's such a bizarre choice. Obviously, it's political. All right. Biden administration was going to ban menthol cigarettes, but they've decided to put that on hold because it would make black voters angry. So instead of saving the lives of black voters, I suppose, he's going to get their vote first and maybe try to save their lives for after that. Everything about our government is immoral. Every single thing about it is just immoral. So let's see. So Biden's plan is to ban TikTok to make all the young people mad, ban menthol cigarettes, because I didn't know this, but apparently black cigarette smokers like menthol cigarettes. I was not aware of that. But yeah, so everything's just like you think. So Trump is brilliantly working his New York lawfare situation. And he met, was it this morning or yesterday? Early in the morning with a bunch of construction workers at a big construction site. And it was pandemonium. Big crowd, lots of cheering. And they were very happy to see him. And I'm loving watching Trump take back New York, because I feel like New York expelled him. I mean, in essence, it did. And watching him take back the state If he can actually push this into Republican control, which I don't think, but the fact that he's going for it is just wonderful. I love the fact that when there's a direct attack on Trump, he never retreats. He just finds the higher ground. It's like, oh, you're going to come after me with your little DAs? I'm going to take your whole state. I just love that. I just love that. I it feels like, oh, remember when Obama was mocking Trump at that, what was it, the reporters event that they do? And you saw Trump just sitting there taking the mocking humiliation. And instead of just mocking and humiliating Obama back, he took the presidency. This feels like the same play. We're gonna pester you to death with our DAs. Okay. I'll take your whole state. Thank you very much. And that's what he's trying to do. Can he do it? It would be quite a reach. But do I think that he read the room correctly? Yes, I think he did. I believe, so remember, I'm from New York State, right? So I grew up in upstate New York. So I feel, it's been a long time, and upstate is different than New York City. But I feel like it's his time. It feels like let me tell you about New Yorkers, upstate. I can't really speak for the city. It's a whole different deal. But the average, you know, rural upstate New York person, they don't like a lot of bullshit. They don't like a lot of bullshit, and they've been seeing a lot of bullshit, and I think they're just done. Yeah, I think they probably reached their limit of bullshit. So I think his timing is perfect. Here's a good sign of the times. Do you know Paul Graham of Y Combinator? And he's one of the big names in the business world, especially in the tech world. So if you're not familiar with him, it's important that you know he's one of the most famous, you know, entrepreneur type people. And why that's important is that he just posted this. He said, something I didn't realize when I was a kid, institutions can decay. Institutions seem so permanent, but it turns out that to be very easy for them to drift from their original mission. But here's the interesting part. Here's the ones he mentions as institutions that have drifted from their original mission and become bad, basically. He lists the ACLU, the New York Times, the Better Business Bureau, the ADL, and NPR. He says none of them are what they were. Now, I, of course, weighed in and said that it's hard to pick a worst, but I would pick the ADL as the worst. But here is what I would consider the sign of the times. I don't think that a year ago, you would have said in public that the ADL is a corrupt, terrible organization. 1 year ago. But now it's just a comment. And now it's sufficiently obvious or sufficiently, you know, talked about that somebody who has a, you know, positive reputation in the world, just an ordinary business person who I don't even know if he's left or right. Honestly, I don't know if he votes Democrat or Republican. Can't tell. Because when he talks about stuff, he's just talking about them in a logical way, which kind of hides your political feelings if you're just talking factually. So I have no idea if he's left or right. But I assume he's somewhere in the middle. But the fact that he can just casually say the ADL is spoiled is a really good sign. So I made sure that I double dunked on the ADL by suggesting that they might be the worst of the bunch to make you stop and debate who's really the worst. Because I want you to pause on that and think, what is worse, the New York Times or the ADL or the NPR? It's the ADL. They're much worse. There's a new study in Japan, if you believe any data and any studies, and you probably shouldn't. It says there were 115,000 excess deaths following the third COVID shot. Whoa. What? So the study shows that there was basically a bunch of aggressive cancers, and they came after the COVID shot. Now, does that mean it's true? It might. It might mean it's true. But the larger picture today is that data is pretty much all unreliable. Yeah, pretty much all data about everything is unreliable, from economics to science to health. It's all unreliable. So would I be worried about this study? Yes. I would love to see the studies about the second COVID shot, because I noticed a lot of the studies are focusing on the third and fourth boosters. But I'd like to know, is it like really bad after two and three is even worse, or is two, you know, sort of average bad, but not the worst thing in the world? But by the time you get to that third booster, is that the one that's going to take you out? I mean, according to the study. But again, I'm not sure you should believe in any studies. So there's that. If there are lots of studies that all point in the same direction, then yes. Well, Kristi Noem has made some news. I guess she's got a book out. And one of the things she talks about is shooting her own dog. I guess they had a dog on the ranch, and it was killing animals, and it was poorly behaved, and it didn't look like it could be fixed. So she killed her dog. It's not that unusual. She's killed a goat. She killed a couple of horses. She's killed a lot of stuff. She's killed a lot of stuff. Now, what she was apparently going for by telling us these stories and doubling down on them is that she's lived this, you know, tough farmer's life where she had to make tough choices. And don't you wish, you know, aren't you glad it wasn't you? Now, I don't have an opinion about whether that dog could be trained or whether it was dangerous and whether she put it out of its misery before it bit a child, and maybe it would have. I don't know. So I don't have an opinion on the detail. I'll just talk about the politics of it. Her political career is largely over. I mean, except maybe she could be governor again. But she's not going to be vice president after saying she killed a dog, because nobody's going to be able to say anything else. I mean, it's basically Romney putting his dog on the roof. And, you know, I don't think anybody could ever forget that. Yeah. So it looks like a lack of empathy for animals, even though it probably wasn't. Right. So I'm not criticizing her for what she did, because I don't know the details. You know, maybe if I knew the details, I would, but I don't. So I'm not criticizing on the details. I'm just saying politically, it's just devastatingly bad. Yeah, it's all I'll ever for. I won't think of anything else when I see her for the rest of her career. I will only think of that when I see her. I don't know about the rest of you, but that will never leave my head. So bad mistake. So Biden wants to, increase the capital gains tax, and you've heard about this. I don't think it can pass because it's so absurdly rapacious. I mean, the fact that people would work all their lives and have their little nest egg, and then the government would say, you know what, I think we'll just take like 40% of it. After you work all your life for the purpose of having that money. Now, do you know how hard it is to spend money after you've made it? Now, I say this because I have a little extra. Yeah, I've made more than I've spent so far. Yeah, here are some of the things you can't do. You can't give your money away to somebody who needs it. Did you know that? It's illegal just to give it. You'd have to pay taxes on the money you give away. So if you've got, let's say you've got an adult child and they need some extra help, for any reason, you know, maybe they had a medical problem or something, and you give them money, yeah, if it goes over the gift, if it goes over, first of all, if it's below a certain amount, it could be called a gift. But you still have to do the taxes. You still have to record it. And the reason you do that is that I believe that becomes an implication in your estate. So the reason you record it is so that later they can ding you, I think. But you can't give your money away. You have to pay taxes to give your money away. Now, I've got money in the stock market, and almost all of the money that I have now is stock gains, meaning that I spent all the money that just sort of I made that I didn't invest, but I invested well, so, you know, I have stock gains. They're going to take 40% of it if I try to cash out. And just think about that. They'll take 40% of it if I just try to use it. I mean, the absurdity of that is crazy. If I try to spend my own money, they'll take 40% of it. Or really 50 in my case, probably, because state taxes as well. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's my fair share. My fair share is to save all of my life. And by the way, I hit my savings target exactly. Like all my life, I thought, okay, if I have, you know, this much, then I'll feel like I'm comfortable. And now 40% of it just went away because I can't spend it. You know, I mean, with that rate of taxation, I would never even take it out. I would just keep working and just leave it there and hope another administration lowers the tax rate. It would be crazy. It would be crazy to remove money under that tax scheme. I would just keep it there as long as I could. All right. So I don't think that can get passed, but oh my goodness. You can't even use your own money after you earn it. So there's more information that these college protests, the Hamas-Palestinian protests, are funded by Soros. But it's not clear that Soros, you know, wanted them to do any protesting. It's just that there are a lot of Soros organizations, and then they make their own decisions after they get the money, and probably a lot of it's going toward this. But there's also thought that some of the money is coming from the Middle East. And I saw some suggestion that, you know, Soros wanted these protests to happen. I don't know about that, because I see Soros as joined at the hip with the Democrats and with our CIA. Now, that's my current worldview. It could be wrong, but my current worldview is that the only way to explain Soros is that he's part of that Atlantic Council CIA intelligence, you know, apparatus, and also part of the Democrat machine as well. Now, why would any of them want to cause this problem in an election year? Why would Soros, the CIA, or Democrats, why would any of them want an anti-Jewish protest in an election year? That's like the very worst thing that could happen to them. So there's something going on here that doesn't make sense if you just think Soros is funding it. It's got to be coming from, the Middle East, Iran, or something like that. So how in the world could we have such a big news event and not understand who's behind it? Isn't that weird? Since when do we not know who's behind things when money's involved? You can't just look at those tents and say, all right, who's behind all this? It must be that the whole NGO money situation is so complicated you can never tell. Well, anyway, the longer those protests go on, the better Trump's chances of winning are. So there's that. I saw Patrick Bet-David had some numbers. I didn't see the source of them, but he was posting about what would happen if TikTok gets banned and which of the social media companies would benefit from it. And based on what, I don't know, probably a survey of some kind, Meta, which is mostly Instagram for this purpose, 57% of TikTok users would end up at Instagram, YouTube 22%, the others 15%, Snap 6%. Now, how many of you think that TikTok's really going to get banned? Now, you probably saw a news event that China was acting tough and saying that they'd rather close it, at least the American version of it, they'd rather close it than sell it. Do you think they mean that? That ByteDance would rather just take no money and just close it? I don't think they mean that, because I do think they mean they're not going to sell the algorithm, the software. But I think that somebody could buy the customers, maybe just the customers, maybe some IP of some sort, and then build their own algorithm in there. Maybe. I mean, or they could just take the customer base and just give them all Instagram accounts. If I were Meta, what I would do is I would have an onboarding service. So you could just say, here's my TikTok account, here's my Instagram, and it just goes and just sucks all the data over and turns it into whatever you want it to be. So if I were Meta, that's what I'd be doing. And I'd find a way to just take all your data and build you a new account. And then I would also give them some kind of a URL or address that would be reminiscent of their TikTok account. So if you knew somebody's TikTok account, you could, for example, just take the known TikTok account and just put IG in front of it, or IG colon, you know, so then you'd be able to find it on Instagram. But I'm going to say that in the end, TikTok will remain a Chinese company and continue operating in the United States. I don't know how, but I think that's going to happen. They have so much money, I have a feeling they're going to fight for it. And I do think that they're going to hold tight on not selling it. But there is some possibility that Mnuchin and some other people will buy some part of TikTok. I just think it's unlikely. Tucker is talking about 2020 voter fraud in a new video. And here's something else that you can say today that you couldn't say a few years ago without getting in trouble. The 2020 election was definitely rigged. That's what Tucker says. Now he gives here's his evidence. Number one, the government was censoring information that would be important to voters. 100% true. The government was censoring things. The laptop thing being the obvious example, but they were censoring, you know, the major platforms. We know about Zuckerberg's $400 million to, you know, tweak the process to benefit Democrats. I would call that rigging. Yeah, it's legal, but it's rigging. And then apparently, so Tucker had a guest who did some kind of survey of people who used mail-in ballots in that election. So he only talked to people who did do mail-in ballots. And asked them, they didn't ask them, did you do anything fraudulent? They asked them specific questions, such as, did you do your mail-in ballot from a state in which you, did you vote in a state where you're not a resident? And a bunch of people said yes, that they intentionally voted in a state in which they were not residents. Now that's illegal. And then they were asked, did you sign a name for somebody else? And a bunch of people said, oh, yeah, I signed a name for somebody else, which is illegal. And then there was, did you fill it out? So not just sign the names, but did you fill out the mail-in ballot for somebody else? And then a bunch of people said yes. Now, I think if you dug into this, there would be a lot of people who did it for their spouse, and their spouse was okay with it. Don't you think? Yeah, there's probably a lot of families where one spouse really cares about politics, the other one doesn't, and the one who cares about it is sitting at the kitchen table and says, honey, do you mind if I fill out your mail-in ballot? And the spouse, male or female, says, yeah, I don't care. You know, what? Because whatever you've looked into, I'll probably be fine with. Yeah, just fill out mine. Do you mind if I sign it? Yeah, just go ahead and sign it. Nobody's going to check. So I don't know how much of this, by the way, the result was that 20% of mail-in ballots were illegal. Based on the survey, 20% of mail-in ballots would have been illegal. But illegal is a tight standard. It doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't the will of the people. Does that make sense? Because if you're filling out the vote for your grandmother because her hands don't work, but she really liked Biden, you technically broke the law because grandma has to fill it out herself. She has to sign it herself. But is that really the law that you care about? Because grandma got her wish and she's a citizen too. So I'm not sure that this 20% is a reliable number. I'd like to, you know, maybe see some more on this topic. But suppose it's half of that, 10% were illegal. Illegal in the way that you would care about them being illegal. That's still a lot. It'd be enough to change the election by far. Yeah, the spirit of the law, but not the letter of the law. Might be a lot of that. In Ohio, the police are in trouble again because there's some body cam footage. They arrested a 53-year-old black man who apparently they have to tell us he's black in the story. That's important. Who died after repeatedly telling officers, "I can't breathe." And indeed, they had a knee on his back. And he was saying, he couldn't. He died. So now we have George Floyd, who died from having a knee on his back. We've got the Daniel Penny situation where he was restraining somebody in a headlock and that man died, also black. And then this new Ohio man died in a similar way. Now, I would suggest this. I think that black men need a warning label. Now, this might apply to other people, but I don't know yet. So we could extend this. And it should say something like, do not hold down for 2 to 5 minutes because they will die. Now, it might apply to all the other groups, and then they should get warning labels too. But the only one we know about are that black men apparently die pretty easily if you hold them down. That's all I know for sure. If you hold them down, they're likely to die. So don't hold a black man down. It could be fatal. And I believe that they should come with warning labels. There should be something they can sew onto a shirt. Says something like, do not hold down with pressure on back. We'll die in less than a minute. Yeah, warning labels. Meanwhile, over at, speaking of warning labels, the CEO of Kraft Heinz is reported in the Wall Street Journal is a health nut. Let me say that again. The CEO of Kraft Heinz, the maker of Lunchables, is a health nut. And some say that he might want to remake the processed food giant to make it more of a healthy situation. What kind of a living hell would that be? What did this man do that was so bad in a prior life that he's a health nut? And apparently he does live his life, you know, very much in a healthy lifestyle. He fasts and does stuff like that. But what kind of living hell would be to put you as the CEO of Kraft Heinz when you're a health nut? What would be another example of something that bad? It would be like Mother Teresa being in charge of a military industrial company. It would be like Greta Thunberg being the CEO of Chevron. None of this makes sense. How do you get a health nut to be the CEO? That's going to be trouble. Here's what little I know from having worked in the food industry. You know, as you know, I famously tried to introduce a food product that would be healthy and compete against Lunchables and stuff like that. But what I learned is you really can't get there from here, meaning that you say to yourself, you know, I'd like my food to be full of nutrition and good for me and not have, you know, a lot of chemicals in it. You can't actually get there from here. If you made such a food, nobody would buy it. Nobody wants healthy food that's also processed. Let me say that again. Nobody, not one person, wants healthy food that's highly processed and comes in a package. And they're pretty much the processed food that comes in a package company. I don't think you can make that healthy. I mean, I think it's actually not possible. If it's not like a whole food with no fertilizer, it's probably going to, be a little unhealthy. I think our whole food system is poisoned. Although I did see an interesting comment by Mike Cernovich. He was talking about people in prison. He said the people in prison are eating all this, horrible processed foods and microplastics, and they're not getting much vitamin D and everything. But they eat two meals a day and they sleep a lot and they exercise. And they're all in great shape when they get out of jail. Which makes you doubt literally everything you've been told about health. I was like, wait a minute. Why are these people who are getting out of jail looking so good compared to the rest of us? Yeah. So, processed food is poison, somebody says. Sort of. How many of you were listening to the Supreme Court on the presidential immunity? Did anybody get to catch any of that? I'll tell you, that is so interesting. The Supreme Court puts on a good show because each of the justices asks pretty tight questions, so it's not boring. And it appears that the lawyers arguing have been trained that they need to make their point as quickly as possible. Now, I don't know if it's because the whole thing is timed or what's going on, but the lawyers talk really fast. And the judges are really good at asking the, just the insightful, quick question. So it's a whole bunch of, well, what would happen if the president did this? Well, according to Ferguson, C plus mass, C plus, we have to reject that. Next question. So it's really fun to watch just the speed of it. But one of the questions that Gorsuch asked is if a president led a nonviolent sit-in, let's say he just decided to lead a nonviolent sit-in in a government office, and the purpose of it was to delay, or let's just say delay, a government process. And he's like, so is that a problem, a nonviolent sit-in? That was a really good question. Because all the other questions were like, what if you try to assassinate the other team? Things that we probably wouldn't have any problem making them illegal or treating them as illegal. So that was a good question. And I have to admit, every time I heard, one of the lawyers talk, they tend to convince you because they're good lawyers, and that's why I got to the Supreme Court. But when I listened to the... What do you call the people who want things to be as they are? Not the plaintiff. So the plaintiff would be Trump's team. What's the other team? What's the word for that? Come on, all you lawyers, tell me the word. It's the plaintiff and the petitioner. There's a petitioner. What do you call them when they're arguing at the Supreme Court? The defendant? It's not really a defendant, is it? But is it a defense? Respondent. So respondent, respondent. Okay. The respondent. So the respondents, I thought, had a confused, terrible argument. So just listening, when I listened to Trump's attorney, he sounded good and sharp and all over it. When I listened to the other team, it sounded a little confused and flailing, but I didn't hear all of it, so I just got a little taste of both. Did anybody have that same impression that Trump's team looked like they did the better job? Doesn't mean they'll win, because the argument's the argument. You can't make the argument better than the argument. But I thought they did a good job. Yeah, and I think where it needs to shake out is that if it's a gray area, the president gets immunity, meaning if it looks like it could be part of the official job, even if it could help him personally, that's just got to have immunity. Because otherwise, presidents would get picked to death. Oh, you started a war to defend the country, but don't you also have a hotel nearby in the neighboring country where all the NATO people will stay when they visit the war zone? So it's sort of for profit, isn't it, Mr. Trump? Can't you see that? It's so easy to imagine that if there's any wiggle room in that presidential immunity thing, if there's any wiggle room, they're just going to use it to take Trump out. So you got to get rid of all of that and say, all right, if it's really that bad, you're going to have to impeach. And if you don't impeach, I don't think you should prosecute after the office. So if it wasn't important enough to get impeached, I don't think it should be important enough to prosecute after you're out of office. That should be a good standard. Now, I realize that sometimes you can't impeach because you don't have the right votes. So it doesn't mean that impeachment gives you fairness, but I feel like you have to have at least that much control over the weaponization of the process. So I definitely give all of the benefit of a doubt in the gray area to our president, no matter who it is. Yeah, but it's far more important with Trump because the lawfare risk. Anyway, time. What's that mean? All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's about all I have. It's a slow news day. Is there any story I missed today? Had Fountain Blue for his wars. Napoleon did. Okay. Well, it has to be a successful impeachment in terms of the Senate. Being impeached in the House doesn't count. If the president is not immune, then neither are the DAs. No official element. Yeah. All right. Where's Mayor Pete? Yeah, where is Mayor Pete? All right, RFK on Bill Maher. Well, did I do any Bill Maher stuff today? Usually on Saturday, it's all about Bill Maher. So Bill Maher had Don Lemon on, and Don Lemon was saying how he's always sort of uncomfortable because he's black and gay. So every space is a little uncomfortable. And Bill Maher was like, what? What? How dark will politics go if Trump gets elected? Probably as dark as they can get. Florida will not comply with the new Biden Title IX rules. Oh, interesting. Florida's going to go... They're just going to reject the rules. So remember I asked you the percentage of men who are in favor of trans athletes on women's teams. And I saw some data about women being in favor of trans athletes by more than half. So more than half of women want trans athletes on their teams. But I'd love to see the men, because I think the men would be closer to zero. I mean, not zero, because it's never zero. But I'll bet the men, maybe 20% would be in favor of it, and 80% would be against it. So to me, it looks like a problem that women have created for themselves, and men should just stay out of it. This is another one of those situations where women should work it out and let us know how it went. It's women's sport, right? It's not my sport. So first of all, I should not tell women what they should do with their sports whatsoever. You know, I don't want women telling me what to do with men's sports. So let the women work it out. But like, just take the men out of it. This is one of those that men, you could just take a pass. I mean, if you're a father, then yes, of course, be involved if it's your daughter who's at risk. But generally speaking, let the women work it out. And right now they approve it by a majority. So there you go. All right. I don't have anything else to talk about, so I won't keep you. I will talk to the locals people tonight. I'm going to try the button to see if I can talk to the locals people after, but if it doesn't work, I will see you tonight in the man cave. All right. Everybody in YouTube and Rumble and X, thanks for joining. I'll see you again tomorrow, same place, same time.